Okay, so today's daf, I don't know, I'm not sure. Maybe chakras finished late. Today's daf is Yoma Daf Ches. We're going to begin with the, fourth line on Daf Yud Daf Ches Amar Alf, Ule Rabbi Shimon. So, the Rabbi Shimon de Amar, Tamid Maratza. Rabbi Shimon holds that, right, we had a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to whether the tzitz is baratza, works, achieves kapara, even if the kohen gadol is not wearing it. According to Rabbi Shimon, it does. Even if it's on the forehead of the kohen gadol, it serves its ritzoi, even if it can effectuate kapara. V'haksiv al meitzach v'nasa. Doesn't the pasuk say that it should be on the forehead of Aaron, so that v'nasa, so that it will achieve kapara? The Gemara says, no, ha'hulik po'a lo makum hudasa. No, that pasuk, when it says, ha'yal metzach menasa, comes to teach you that the place of the hadach, of the placement of the tzitz, is on the forehead. And it's not to teach you that the ritzoi of the tzitz, that it's only effective when he's wearing it. It tells you that this is where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be on his forehead. Rabbi Yehuda, likbo lo makum menale. So what's the source of Yehuda? If Rabbi Yehuda uses this pasuk to tell you that it only serves as a kapara, it can serve as a ritzoi when the kohen gadol is wearing it, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the source that you need that it has to be in a certain place on his forehead? So nafkalei al mitzcho. So he learns it from the continuation of the pasuk, which is v'hayo al mitzcho tamid. Rabbi Shimon nam tibulei me al mitzcho. Why is Rabbi Shimon learning from that phrase al mitzcho? Inachinami, yes. Yes, you can learn it from there. Ella al meitzach v'nasa mayvedlei. So then what does he do with the phrase al meitzach v'nasa? Amar lach, ro'oi l'meitzach baratza, she'enu roi l'meitzach enu baratza. If it only a tzitz that's fit to go on the forehead serves as ritzoi, is can serve as an atonement. However, if it's not fit for your forehead, then it cannot. So la fuke nishbar hatzit lo baratza. So to exclude a tzitz that's broken, let's say it's broken, and it's not fit for wearing, so that doesn't serve as ritzoi even if it's not on your forehead. According to Rabbi Shimon, does not have to be in your forehead, but it can't be broken. Rabbi Yehuda nishbar hatzit menale. How does he learn that if it's broken, then it doesn't serve doesn't work? So nafgalei mi meitzach mitzcho, the extra vav, it says mitzcho, not just meitzach, it says mitzcho, the vav. So that tells you when it's broken, it doesn't work. Rabbi Shimon meitzach mitzcho l'mashule. He hasn't learned anything from the extra vav, the fact that it says mitzcho instead of meitzach. So now the Gemara wants to bring other tanaim and to say that another issue of other tanaim regarding whether tumo chutra b'tzir or tumo dechuy b'tzir. We saw that might be a debate. The tzitz debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is a debate of tumo is somewhat premised on whether they hold tumo hutra betzibur, whether it's completely allowed, or whether it's the chuyah simply pushed off betzibur. So neima hanei tanai kanei tanai. Let's say that the machlokas tanai in the brisa also is related to what the following brisa is also related to this question of whether tumo is hutra betzibur or not. The tanya kulor the brisa. Regarding Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur and the Kohen who burns the Paraduma, so they would separate from the houses for 7 days in the Lishka that was in the Mikdash. Echad zev, mazin alav, kol shiva. Whether we talk about the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, whether we talk about the Kohen who burns the ashes of the Paraduma, burns the Paraduma, they would sprinkle on him all 7 days, mikol chatos, from the ashes of the Paraduma, shayusham, that were in the Mikdash. Divrei Meir. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, because they're concerned that maybe he touched Tuma and he didn't know. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein mazin olav, ela shlishi vishvi bilvad. Rabbi Yossi says, no, we only do the third and the seventh day. Rabbi Chini has got to call him Omer. Kohen has soref es hapara mazin olav kol shiva. Kohen gadol, v'yom kippurim, Ein mazin olav, ela shlishi vishvi. That the Kohen who burns the ashes of the Paraduma, who burns the Paraduma to ashes, so for him we sprinkle all 7 days. Kohen Gadol, Before Yom Kippur, it's only the third and seventh day. My love, hakamifigli, is not their debate. Ramer savar tumah tuchuyah he betzibor v'rav Yosi savar tumah heter he betzibor. So maybe you're saying like this. According to Rav Meir, it's tumah tuchuyah betzibor. It's not a complete heter. And the korban tzibor, you should try to make sure that they're brought in a state of tahara. And since they're trying to be brought in a state of tahara instead of ritual purity, so therefore they're very strict. They're concerned that maybe he became tamei each, and therefore he needs to become tahor from the ashes of the parah aduma, and therefore you'd sprinkle on the third and the seventh day. And you shouldn't delay it, but therefore you have to do it each and every day, because maybe there's someone who's Tameh, you speak on the third and seventh day. But for this Kohen Gadol, because we're so concerned, and Tumah is only Dechuyah B'tzibor, so therefore we do it every day, because maybe today is the third day, maybe the seventh day, and there's we're concerned that maybe he became Tumah, so we do it every day. And Rav Yossi says, our Tumah Heter He B'tzibor, Rav Yossi says, it's Tumah Hutra, therefore the fact that we sprinkle the acid of Paraduma is not because of concern he became Tameh. Because even if he became Tameh, this would not be an invalidation of his avoda, but this is simply a chumrah that we sprinkle the ashes on the third and seventh day. But it's not because of real concern of Tumah, because we don't care. Tumah's hutra b'tzibur. So that was that's the suggestion. So the Gemara wants to say that you can't premise the debate between Meir and Yossi regarding whether it's Tumah's Hutra B'tzibor or not. The Gemara asks, V'tisbra, do you really hold to say that the reason of Rav Yossi is because of Tumah Hutra B'tzibor? Isava Rav Yossi Heter Hi B'tzibor. If Rav Yossi really holds Tumah Hutra B'tzibor, Hazak Klalavali, why do I even need the sprinkling on the third and seventh day? It's this minor, this chumra. You shouldn't need it at all. Ella, the Kuliyat Mahani, Tanei Savri, Tumah Dechuy Hi B'tzibor. Really, both Rav Meir and Rav Yossi hold that Tumah is Dechuyah B'tzibor. It's only pushed off. This is their debate. Rav Meir, who holds that each and every day you have to sprinkle on the Kohen Gadol, the ashes of the Parah Aduma, he holds of our Amrinan Tevila Bizman HaMitzvah. He holds that the mitzvah is placed upon the Tzon who's Tameh to go to the mikveh immediately at the time of Tevila. You shouldn't push it off to another day. And we learn the sprinkling of the ashes of the paraduma from Tevila, that you have to sprinkle immediately when the time of sprinkling is reached, and we don't push it off to another day, and therefore you have to sprinkle each and every day, because maybe the day is the third day, or maybe the day is the seventh day, and as we don't know, everyone holds Tumah Dechuyah B'tzibor, maybe you became Tamei, so we have to sprinkle each and every day. But Rav Yossi Savar, Lo Amrinan Tefila Bizman HaMitzvah. Rav Yossi holds that we don't say that there's a mitzvah to do tefillah in its time. You know, I said in my drasha on Shabbos that there's a halacha that when it comes to mitzorah, that as soon as he becomes tahor, he has to be brought to the kohen and he has to do all the purification process. Well, forget, what about other tumos? Rav Yossi holds that let's say become tahor, you don't have to go to the mikveh right away. So you don't need to sprinkle that, and also not only that, you don't need to sprinkle the ashes of the paraduma specifically on the third day or the seventh day, as long as you do it, at some point, then that's fine. As long as it's not, let's say someone became tamei 2 days before hafrasha, he was separated. So really, if you count three days. Let's say he became tamei 2 days before he was separated. Hafrasha. So you count 3 days, should be the first day and the fifth day. Well, who cares? So wait to the third day, then wait to the seventh day. So Tefila Bizmana is not a mitzvah. So that's the nature of the debate between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir, whether Tefila Bizmana is where they have to do it in the right time. The Savar Rav Meir, Lo Amrina, and Tefila Bizmana mitzvah, but is that really true? Does Rav Yossi really hold that? Do we really hold Rav Yossi that doesn't say Tefila Bizmana is a mitzvah? Tanya, but hold related to Brisa. Haresha, Ya Hashem, Kasuv Al Basaro. Let's say the Shem Hashem was written on his skin, on his flesh. You're stuck. You can't wash your skin in water. You can't rub oil in it because you're going to erase Hashem's name. You're not allowed to walk. You're not allowed to stand in a dirty area because you have the name of Hashem on you. Nizdamna lo tvila shel mitzvah, but let's say that you became tame, you need to go to the mikvah. Kore chalav gemi, you wrap a type of what's a gemi, like a type of like a wood, a little type of plant or something to reed to protect you so he doesn't get erased. Vitova, you go to the mikvah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, you're vitova kedarka. No, you go to the mikvah normally. Vavad shel yishavshef. Just don't scrub it with water. Because then you are mochek the shame be a dime. Then you're like actively rubbing up the name. The Kaibalad we hold the tefillah bismana mitzvah kamifli. They argue regarding whether tefillah is bismana. That's the nature of their debate, whether tefillah is bismana. How so? So the Tana Kama Savar lo rina tefillah bismana mitzvah. Tana Kama holds that tefillah bismana is not a mitzvah, and so therefore you can't go to the mikvah when there's a concern that maybe then Shem Hashem is erased. And Rav Yossi Savar amrina tefillah bismana mitzvah. And Rav Yossi says no, tefillah bismana is a mitzvah, and so therefore they're concerned that if they require him to the if they require him to bring this this reed, if he doesn't find it, he's going to push off his tefillah to another day, and therefore to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah. So therefore, they said that you're allowed to tova without the gebi, even if you erase the name. So we see from here, Rabbi Yossi holds that tefillah bismana is a mitzvah. So how can you say in the other case that he only tells the Kohen Gadol who separates 7 days before Yom Kippur that he sprinkles the third and the seventh day only because tefillah bismana is not a mitzvah? We see from this other case. This case, we just said that he holds tefillah bismana is a mitzvah. Ella, rather, chuli alma lahani tanai. Really, there's no one who argues on this. Both Rameir and Rav Yossi hold amrinan tefillah bismana mitzvah. They both hold tefillah bismana is a mitzvah. So now, if tefillah bismana is a mitzvah, so why does Rameir require the kohen who separates for 7 days before Yom Kippur to have the ashes water of the paraduma sprinkle on him for 7 days, and Rabbi Yossi only holds on the third and seventh day? So this is the nature of the debate. Rameir Savar Makshina Hazal Tfila. We compare Hazah to Tfila. We learn in a Hekesh that both of them are said in the same pasuk. That just like Tfila Bismana is a mitzvah, so too Hazah Bismana is a mitzvah. The sprinkling is a mitzvah. Therefore, you need to sprinkle each and every day because maybe that day is the right day. We don't compare Hazah to Tfila. That yes, Tfila Bismana is a mitzvah. That we're going to say. But Hazah Bismana is not a mitzvah. The sprinkling is not a mitzvah. So even though from the debate from the Brisa about where the Shem Hashem is on your body and rinsing it off and going to the mikvah, there we see Rabbi Yossi holds Tfila Bismana is a mitzvah. And it's right time it's a mitzvah. But by sprinkling the acid paraduma, it doesn't have to be done at the right time. So if you can do it the third and seventh day, and you're good. What about the Rav Chida Iskada Kohani? What did he say? He said that the Kohen who burns the ashes, the Paraduma, they would sprinkle each and every day, and the Kohen Gadol was only do the third and the seventh. Why does he make that distinction? Imaki Shazal Tfila, Afila Kohen Gadol, Afila Kohen Biyom Kippur Nami, below Maki Shazal Tfila, Afila Kohen Asamis Par Nami Lo. If we're going to compare Hazal to Tfila, the Hazah Bismana is a mitzvah, that even the Kohen Gadol you should sprinkle each and every day. And if we don't compare it to Tefila, then the Kohen who burns the Paraduma also should only require the third and seventh day. So why does he make this split between the Kohen with the Paraduma and the Kohen on Yom Kippur? So Gemara says, La'olam lo makish. Really, he does not compare Hazah to Tefila. The Kohen Hasorif Esapara Maila Ba'alma. So the Kohen Gadol, you only need the third and the seventh because Hazab Bismana is not a mitzvah. But the Kohen who burns the para, they made a maila, they are more machmir by the Kohen who burns the paraduma that he should be sprinkled with the ashes paraduma each and every day because the people don't disparage this type of disparage, they won't take the Torah seriously. Why not? Because we saw that there's a leniency with the kohen. I think with the paraduma. I think we saw a few dapim ago that the kohen who burnt the ash of the paraduma. So they said that the kohen is allowed to be a tevul yom. He's allowed to be a tevul yom. So that's a big kula. So because they made this kula, they're concerned that people wouldn't take the Torah requirements that seriously. So therefore, they were stringent. Say you have to be washed. You have to be sprinkled with ashes of the paraduma each and every day. Now the Gemara is going to bring up Braisa that speaks about the separation of the kohen gadol, the kohen who burns the para, and he's going to this clarify like who's the author of the following Braisa. The Gemara asks, Kiman as la hadat rabbanan, like whom does the halacha go in the following Braisa that we learned? Ein ben kohen service a para la kohen gadol b'yom kippur. There's no difference between the kohen who burns the para and the kohen gadol who the days before Yom Kippur, Ella, Shazeh, Prisha, So, Likdusha, Ve Echav, Hakonim Noginbo, Vizeh, Prisha, So, Latara, Ve Eid, Echav, Hakonim Noginbo. That the separation of the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur is because he's entering into the Machne Shechina, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And therefore we separate him, and he should stay away from everyone else. So that he will be full of fear and dread, he won't become arrogant, and he won't engage in levity. And since it's not because of concern of tuma, so we're not concerned if the other kohanim touch him. But the kohen who burns the para, so he is, the purpose is to separate him so he can be tahor, and therefore the kohanim do not touch him, and other people do not touch him. Because they are considered tamei with respect to him. So the Gemara wants to clarify, Kabad, like whom is this, like whom was this price said? E-O Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi. This could be like Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because Rabbi Meir holds that the kohen gadol before Yom Kippur, the kohen who burns the para, we sprinkle on them each and every day. Or Rabbi Yossi holds that both of them, we only do the third and the seventh. So, because this Parsha said there's no other difference between the Kohanim. It's just the only difference between these two Kohanim is whether they can touch other, come in contact, physical contact with other Kohanim. Meaning what? The sprinkling rules are the same. So that this could hold like, this could follow Meir of Yosef. Dikrav Chanina Shtan Kohanim, Hoikonamiha. But if this Parsha would follow Rav Chanina Shtan Kohanim, so then the Parsha should say there's another difference. That the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, we sprinkle him the ashes of the Paraduma the third and seventh day, but the Kohen who burns the Paraduma, we sprinkle on him each and every day. So the Gemara says, Maskif La Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina. So Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina asked on Rameir, who said that we sprinkle on the Kohen all 7 days of that Frasha. Pishlam Arishon Shema Shlishi. So I understand the first day of your Hafrasha. Maybe it's the third day. Maybe you came Tamei 2 days before. And I understand, right, Shema Shlishi. Maybe it's the third day of Tumah. I understand the second day of your separation, Shema Shlishi. Right, maybe you came Tamei 1 day before. And therefore, the third day, therefore it's the third day of your Tumah. I understand Shlishi. I understand separating. I understand on the third day of your Hafrasha, you have to sprinkle the ashes of the Paraduma, because maybe Shema Shlishi, maybe you became Tamei on the day that you separated, right before you separated, so now it's the third day of your Tumah. I understand Chamishi, the fifth day of your separation. Shema, maybe you became Tamei 2 days before Hafrasha, and then this is what, and so therefore this is the Shvi, maybe it's the seventh day of your Tumah. And I understand Shishi, I understand the sixth day of your Hafrasha, maybe that you have to sprinkle the ashes, because Shema maybe came to me 1 day before the Hafrasha, now this is the seventh Shvi, the seventh day of your Tumah. And I understand that on the Shvi, that on the seventh day of your Hafrasha, then Shema Shvi, maybe you became to me right before you separated, and therefore now it's the seventh day of your Tumah. Ella, revi'i labali azaklau. Why do you have to sprinkle the ashes of the Paraduma on the fourth day of your separation. Lo vishlishi ika lesapuke. It can't be the third day of your tuma because you're already separated for 3 days. Velo bishvi'i ika lesapuke. Because it can't be the seventh day. Why? Because if now it's the seventh day, so that means that the third day of your tuma was 1 day before your hafrasha. And on that day, they didn't sprinkle on him. Right? In other words, on the fourth day, that means they would have to do the sprinkling the day before hafrasha, before he was separated. So that this, in other words, sprinkling on the seventh day doesn't help unless you're also sprinkling on the third day. So if the fourth day after when he's separated, if we're saying that, oh, this is your seventh day sprinkling, that doesn't work. Because we don't, there's no halacha, they have to sprinkle the ass of the paradum on him 1 day before he's separated. And if you want to argue, hazal kol shiva mi'ika, so can you sprinkle on him all 7 days? Valkaimalan the hazah shvus, that hazah is on Shabbos, is an issur drabanan. So we can't do it. Veina docha to Shabbos, it doesn't violate the Shabbos. So in any case, if Shabbos, how could a mayor say that we sprinkle him all 7 days? On Shabbos, we can't sprinkle on him. So what do you say? Shvi lavarbi Shabbos. When it says that we sprinkle on him 7 days, it means 7 days other than Shabbos. Here also, shiva lavarbi chamishi. So it means we sprinkle him all 7 days. It doesn't really mean we sprinkle on him all 7 days. We sprinkle on him all 7 days other than the fourth day. Amarava, Rava says, Hilchach, therefore. Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippur lo b'dinan talya milsa. Kohen Gadol, when he separated him before Yom Kippur, that the day of Hafrasha does not depend on him. Ela b'kvid diyarcha talya milsa. Depends on when the new month is. Right? So therefore, you need to separate him 7 days before Yom Kippur. B'tlasa b'tishrei bo lafushe. So on the third day of Tishrei, they need to separate him. V'cholemas misramik tlasa b'tishrei mafreshinan le. And whatever day of the week falls out, that's when you separate him. And even if Shabbos falls out on one of the days, you need to sprinkle on him, and the Hazah will become batel from the Kohen for 2 days, because now basically it's the fourth day on Shabbos, so basically it doesn't make a difference. If Shabbos falls out on the fourth day of his Afrasha, then you're only not sprinkling on him 1 day, but if it falls on any other day, then you're not sprinkling on him 2 days. Avla Kohen as service apara to Vedin and Taya Milsa, Mafreshin and Labor V Bishabis. So Kihechan and Sramer V Shalo Bishabis. So the Kohen who burns the Paraduma, there's no halacha when you have to do that. You can pick. So therefore we specifically separate him specifically on Wednesday, so that Shabbos falls out on day four. So therefore we try to avoid multiple days where they're not speaking on him, the ashes of the paraduma. So when it comes to Yom Kippur, you have no choice. So whatever day it falls out. When it comes to the paraduma, so then we have him burn the paraduma on Wednesday, so we have the Wednesday so that he's only misses 1 day. The Mishnah says that they would separate the Kohen Gadol from his house and they take him to the Lishkas Parhedrin. The Gemara brings a brisa about the name Lishkas Parhedrin. Tanya, we learn in a brisa. Amar Rabbi Huda, Bechi Lishkas Parhedrin Haisa. Was it really called Lishkas Parhedrin, which means the officer of the king? The Meiri, by the way, points out that it's also a word in Greek. The Ritva explains that these are people who were in charge of the weights and measures. And the Gemara, we'll see tomorrow's daf, they were appointed on they're Mechirei Hashuk. And they were in charge of the prices in the marketplace. They'd make sure that the bakers wouldn't sell, so they would sell at a reasonable price. In any case, the Gemara says, Valo Lishkas Belvete. Haisa, wasn't it called the Chamber of Belvate, which means officers, respected people? And that's what you should call it, because it was for the Kohanim Gedolim. Ela batchila hayu korin osa lishkas Belvate. So originally, it was indeed it was called As long as Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, he was Kohen Gadol for 40 years. Me'iwi adds that maybe this was the case also in Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was the Kohen after him, Kohen Gadol after him. So initially it was called Liskas Belvate, but after that you had Kohanim Gadolim who weren't so, who were wicked people. And so the Mitok Shinosim Allah Mamun LaKahuda. And basically, how would they become the king? They would give money, and it was given based on bribery. So again, this was, you know, the history. You have to see the exact history of this, but certainly after the Rashi points out that they would give money to the kings of the Hashmonaim, that's what some want to argue, but others want to say that what are you talking about? The Hashmonaim kings were good. They themselves were Kohanim Gadolim. So they're explaining this must refer to the Kohanim Gadolim in the when Herod was the king. In any case, they switched the names from Belvati, which is a more chashuv name, to Parhedrin, and basically Machlifin also Kol Shnei Masar Chodesh. That basically the Kohen Gadol that was appointed, they'd switch it. The Kohen Gadol who would be appointed would basically change the chamber because he would. Basically, what would they do? They destroy the old chamber, and they would build a new chamber. So they'll be called on his name. So they were like, it was more like Kiparhedrin Halalu. Like every 12 months, like they would, it would be a new king, and so a new Kohen Gadol, and they would basically rebuild it, make it nicer. So it would be called by their name. And so the Chacham called this, yeah, this is Lishkas Parhedrin. It was similar to the offices of the king. The custom was, Shemachlif and Osim Kol Shem Osar Chodesh. They'd switch every 12 months. The Fichach, how you call it also, Lishkas Parhedrin. Therefore, they was called this Lishkas Parhedrin. And so why would they call that name? Tiferes Yisrael was to remind the Kohen Gadol at that time that basically they said, you know why it's called Lishkas Parhedrin? Because your predecessor, he only lasted 12 months. You know why he only lasted 12 months? Because he wasn't such a good Kohen Gadol. So it's a warning to you that if you treat it like a Parhedrin, then your reign as Kohen Gadol will not last that long. Okay, we'll stop here.